being the dad of two preschool-aged boys means that on a regular basis, I get asked the same question or given the same complaint in the form of one word on a very regular basis. And that one word complaint, that one word question is, why? Right? Constantly. It can take 3 seconds to be engaged in deep philosophy or geography or history or any subject under the world, because no matter what you request you make, the question is why. Put your toys away. Why? We cannot go to the park because it's raining. Why? Well, why is it raining? And I just, you know, before you know it, you're engaged in really deep stuff that you have no authority to speak on at all. And often you just get to the point where you say, because I said so. That's why, right? That's where you inevitably end up. You think, I don't know, I'm not getting involved in a debate about this. I'm just asking you to do it. But the why question is one that comes out of the mouths of young children on a very regular basis. And maybe as adults, we just get a little bit better at being, you know, more sophisticated about internalizing that why question that seems to run in our lives over and over and over again. And occasionally we have the courage to ask why. Most of the time we just let things go in the direction that they're already going and don't ask the question as much as we should. But when it comes to prayer, we might ask, why? Why should I pray for other people? I mean, when the subject of prayer comes up, if you're anything like me, you start to feel a little bit guilty. You think, I can't believe we're talking about prayer this morning because I've given such a limited portion of my time this week to prayer. And if we realize that there's a limited portion of time that's given to prayer, and I have so many needs myself, there's so much stuff going on in my life, how much time should I allocate to pray for other people? If I do 5 minutes for the tension in my family, 5 minutes for the problems I'm facing in my workplace, 5 minutes for the anxiety or the concerns that I have about my future. And then David told me that Mary was in hospital, and so I should probably pray for her. Does she get 5 minutes as well? How do I carve up the time when I'm praying for others? And do I only pray because I promised that person I would pray for them, so I pray for that person to get rid of the guilt that is in my life? Do I let myself off the hook by praying for someone, and is that the only motivation that I have to pray for someone because I said I would do it? Where does this ambition or desire come from to pray for other people? What's the reason? Do I do it just to get rid of guilt? Or is there something deeper that would motivate me to pray? Throughout Scripture, God's ambition has been to bless people of every nation, tribe, and tongue. We see this repeatedly. When you read his promise to Abram in Genesis 12, God promises to bless Abram. And you can see as you turn the pages of your Bible from Genesis 12 that really what happens from that point is that God unfolds that promise to bless all people. And every time you turn the page in the Bible, you're seeing God's promises unfolding, God's promises unfolding, his purposes are being worked out. From that point in Genesis 12 where God promises to bless the whole world, to bless others through Abraham. The father Abraham had many sons had father Abraham. As soon as we start to turn the page, we see God's promise unfolding. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. See, at this stage, Abram and Sarah were without children and long past the age of bearing children. And God makes a promise to them to do something that only he could do, a miraculous work to give life where there is currently no life, to bring a child into that family by his power, not their natural human ability. God provided them with Isaac. And as we follow the family tree forward, we get to the point from Abram's family that there's another miraculous birth. There's another child born to a woman who really shouldn't be having a child. She's a virgin. This time it's not an older couple, but a young couple, unmarried. who really shouldn't be having children, and there's question marks about this child. Where did he originate from? How did he get to be here? And we get the same response and reply. God brought this life about. God did it. That Jesus is born to a virgin, and the announcement of his arrival on the scene is very similar to what is promised to Abram in Genesis 12. Fear not, the angel announces in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. There's something about Jesus' life that's for everyone, not just for Argentina, not just for Italy, not just for Brazil, not just for England or for those who are making it in the World Cup finals, but for every single nation, even the Faroe Islands. These little nations that are insignificant when it comes to sporting tournaments matter in the purposes of God. God's promise to Abram is realized in the person of Jesus Christ, who comes to be a blessing for the whole world, for all peoples on the earth. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's what we sing at Christmas time. That there's something about all of human history that lands on the life of Jesus Christ when he enters the world as a human being. That the purposes of God are caught up in this life like they're caught up in no other life. God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is here. We're not distant from God. He comes to us. So this encourages us to pray, to be in prayer for other people. I love how Judah Smith talks about mission and the purposes of God and his place in it as a pastor in the States. He says, the bottom line is our mission is more about Jesus than about us. I'm not smart enough to figure out how to save the world, my country, or even my city. The very idea is exhausting. But I can show people who Jesus is one day at a time, one person at a time. He's a mega pastor, a pastor of a mega church, thousands of people. But he says what he can do is one day at a time, one person at a time, communicate something of Jesus Christ to the people who interact with him, to the people that come across his path. He's a mega church pastor. But you and I can do exactly the same. This is not an exclusive mission for someone who leads a church, as a staff member on a church, as a volunteer in church. This is the mission of God that every Christian should be caught up in. One day at a time, one person at a time, revealing the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. I don't need to be the Savior. I'm not the Savior. I need a Savior. And so I think it's really encouraging that the bottom line of our mission is that it's about Jesus and not about us. Regular Bible reading reveals to us that all people matter to God. You cannot read your Bible without discovering that all nations, all peoples matter to God, that he is concerned about every nation, every person, every colleague in your workplace, every member of your family, every house in your neighborhood, and the people who live there. God loves them and cares about them passionately. He's interested in them. And regular Bible reading reveals to us that God cares deeply about every single person. He wants them all to know him. That's God's dream. That's his ambition for all peoples, everyone, to know him. The dedication of the temple that we just read, Solomon says, do whatever the foreigner asks of you so that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. God wants us all to be engaged in his purpose and for us all to know his name. You think of John 17, where Jesus prays for his disciples and prays for the future of the church, prays that the mission of God would continue beyond the disciples that spent time with him on earth. And he says that he wants the church, wants his disciples to be united. He wants you and I to love one another, to be in relationship with each other in a really united way. You can look around church this morning and we are different. We are not all the same, but he wants us to be united together in his purposes. And he prays, Lord, may they be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. God wants the world to know him because the world desperately needs to know him. And the way in which the world will get to know God is through you and I being in unity. I want to say, I've been talking about this a little bit in terms of among our staff and among other leaders and trying to identify this for people. As a church, we are experiencing a period of unity that I have never known in my Christian life. Like, we really are. And I am so encouraged to be serving in this church at a season where we are for one another, where we are united around the mission of God, and it is an incredible experience to be leading in this church at this time. Thank you for your unity. Think about how we talk about one another. Think about how we are treating one another. Usually we have to say those kinds of things in a time of disunity, in division. But I want to say, this is an incredible season of unity. Don't ruin it. Let's press into that. Because it's the means by which the world will know that Jesus sends us. It'll be the means by which the world encounters Jesus as we continue to be united. Listen, this is all over the pages of Scripture. That God wants everyone, everywhere to know him. And if you're a Christian this morning, like Catherine was saying, you're a Christian because someone's praying for you. Someone prayed that you would come to know Jesus. If you are a believer this morning, you're a believer because a miracle of God happened in your life. And so as you think about writing the name of someone that might come on an Alpha course on that tag, I want you to be ambitious. Put a name on there. Listen, we should never become so familiar with the fact that God saved us that we think that he could never do it for someone else. That's actually arrogant to think, well, I was a likely candidate for grace. I was a likely candidate for God's love. We should never become so familiar with the fact that God loves us that we would think it would be impossible for him to rescue someone else. It's all mercy. It's all grace. So be ambitious as you put a name on that tag. God's ambition is that the whole world would know him, and that person that you're thinking about right now is in the world, so God wants that person to know him. Be ambitious about that and pray. Realizing that ultimately, apart from Jesus, this person's life is hopeless, meaningless, directionless, and they're continuing to walk in brokenness in a relationship with God, and that's exactly what they need, a relationship with him. And so no matter how together they appear to have it in their workplace or with their finances or with their kids or in their house, and they might appear to you to not have any need of Jesus, that's why we need to read our Bibles, because over and over and over again, we realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how well their finances are. It doesn't matter how well they've decorated their house. It doesn't matter how great their kids are. Or how competent in their job they appear to be. They desperately need a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you should pray for them and we should pray for them. Every person we meet needs freed from slavery to sin. Needs the ability to live in a life that says over it, like it says in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if you think about that, if the people that you know are not in Christ Jesus, then there is condemnation for them. And those people that you interact with are living under condemnation, trying to prove themselves, trying to get themselves out of that condemnation by their own effort and by their own work. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 7, we read these words. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? What other nation has their gods near them when they pray? Answer, no other nation. No other nation has a God like this. You see, the Jesus that we gather to worship this morning is not just the Savior of Presbyterians. He's not just the Savior of Westerners. He's not even just the Savior of Christians. He's the Savior of the world. He has universal authority so that every nation, tribe, and tongue needs to bow their knee to him. And so this is not some little colloquialized, localized faith that we possess. It's a relationship with God who has the right to demand surrender from everyone because they desperately need a relationship with him. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Why should we pray? Because the people we encounter need a blessing that only Jesus can offer. What can make me whole again? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so every single one of us should be in prayer because we have limitations, we have weaknesses, we have an inability to rescue the people around us. Like I was praying earlier, as a father, I cannot rescue my boys. I can do lots of stuff for them, but we baptize them here in church because it's a confession that we need them to be rescued. There is something that only Jesus can do in their lives that Rachel and I as parents cannot do for them. And they look lovely on their day of their baptism, and you dress them up really nice, and they're cute. But the fact of the matter is, they need a Savior. And so there are limitations as parents for our children and for a husband and wife and for other members of your family and for your work colleagues. We have limitations. That's why we pray. Lindsay and Japhet got married here yesterday, and there was prayer in the worship service because it's great that a couple come together and get married, but they're not the answer to their own problems. Lindsay and Japhet need a Savior. Marriage is not the solution. So we should be in prayer. Every single one of us needs to acknowledge our limitations and come before God and say, there's stuff that only you can do in the lives of the people that matter to me. We should pray because the whole world desperately needs to know Jesus. And then just quickly as we finish up, what should we pray? What should we pray for the people who matter to us or who care for us? That we see every single day. What should we pray? I don't know if you've ever seen on Facebook the kind of notification that says, is anyone traveling from Belfast to Dublin before Friday this week? I need a favor. Or sometimes people say, is there someone going from Ballymena to Bangor? I've got some flyers that need delivered on Sunday night. And they're looking for someone to take stuff to a location. Those kind of notifications happen all the time. You know, I've gone to the North Coast as a student in Coleraine, and maybe they left their contact lenses at home in Jordanstown, and they're like, is anybody coming this direction this week could bring my contact lenses for me? They maybe need a courier like this person, right? That's a cyclist. I think it's Berlin. I can't remember. I typed in courier, and that was one of the images that came up. We have a men's cycling club in church, but that's the reason why we don't have a female cycling club, right? It's kind of, you can start one. But you want to get a message, or you want to get something delivered from somewhere. And so you're figuring out, is there anybody making a journey in that direction? Is there anybody heading to Jordanstown? Is there anybody heading to Bangor? And basically, as you read the scriptures, God's saying, I've got hope. I've got mercy. Is there anybody going to the hopeless this week? Anybody going to those who are living under condemnation this week? Anybody going to those with anxiety this week? Because I've got it. Will you come to me and take from me what is mine? Will you go in my name and bring light to the darkness? Anybody going to the darkness this week? If you're making that journey already, you can be sure that God longs to bless you because his ambition is that the world would know him. And so for people who do not know him, he's going to pour himself out upon your life. And so you think about this presbytery consultation that's been going on and all the stuff that we've been reflecting on in the life of our church. And we've been overwhelmed, even from the inside, as we've seen the amount of stuff that's happened through the lives of volunteers, 11 new communicants recently. And we say, thank you, God. And my instinct, my thought about that is the more that we go to the places where God wants to be known, the more he's going to give us himself. And so what should we pray? What should we pray? We should be praying that God would pour out himself upon us. He wants us to go and make disciples of all nations. He wants the whole world to know him. He wants to fill us with his spirit so that we can be people who are ambassadors for Jesus, who represent him accurately in the places that we go. Surely I am with you always. Will you carry my name into that situation? Will you carry my character? Will you carry my grace into your interactions with difficult people? Christ died for the ungodly. Will you go to the ungodly, because that's who you are before Jesus engages in your life and rescues you? So will you go that direction and carry Christ in your life to those places? How do we pray for others? What should we pray about? I think we should pray, God, fill me with your Spirit like never before. Bless me with yourself like never before. Help me not to be ashamed of the gospel like never before. Renew my confidence in your ability to save like never before. Help me to really trust you. Help me to really believe that you're the solution to the problems of this world. And you might say, that's not praying for other people. That's a really selfish prayer. You're praying for yourself. I believe until we are all consumed with a passion for God's name, we will continue to be consumed with a passion for our own name. And evangelism and mission then becomes about us, becomes a means by which we make our name great, a means by which we use other people to make us look good. And until I say, God, kill the desire in my life to be acknowledged and known, kill that desire. Until we get to that position, we will not be as fully effective as we should be in mission and evangelism. Only when we're willing to find our identity fully in the name of Jesus will we be willing to be anonymous for his purposes and cause. So we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we need to come to a place of surrender. We need to realize that his mercy covers over all sin, and so there are no irredeemable people or situations. Our feet will carry us into many complex difficulties, but God is able to save in every single situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. So as we go, we should pray, give me confidence in your purposes. Give me confidence in your plan. Help me to display the gospel as I interact with other people, and give me courage to declare it with my lips. In short little sentences and statements that help people. Catherine was talking about worry. How many people do you know who are concerned with worry? And you could say, let me pray for you to the God that I worship who hears and answers prayer. John Stott says this, Christianity without mission is Christianity no longer. We are a sent people, couriers of grace, who take the message of Jesus and his good news to the people who desperately need it. Prayer is mission because we are not the solution to the world's problems. We are not the solution to the brokenness of this world. Jesus is. Can you ask for God to free you from the pressure of being a savior and give you renewed confidence that Jesus is the savior? So as you think about that name, think about praying that you yourself would be the person who is able to communicate the character of God, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that you are not.